Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh, Kevin, are you seeing these reports from Nick Harris right now?
Oh.
Your friend Nick Harris has said, after talking with some folks, these are some bubble players that I expect to be on the roster.
Okay, here we go. Do it.
Cornelius.
Okay.
A Johnny Cornelius. Damon Clark.
Oh, I would have been surprised if he didn't make it, but okay.
Oh, because you're a fan?
That's true.
Makes sense. Miles Sanders.
Oh, really?
Andrew Booth and Mozzie Smith. He expects them to be on the roster. Your thoughts?
I'm really disappointed that, not to say he won't make it, but I did not hear James Houston's name in that group. And also, I get it. Like, the Cowboys drafted him first, and they're going to tell you how many kick-ass things they saw from Mozzie Smith. And it's only his third year. And you know what? I guarantee you at some point, you know, Tom Landry used to tell us, third year for defensive tackle. And I hope that's right.
I think I just saw the Eagles, they moved on from Kenyon Green. He was a first-round pick, right?
Yes.
In 22? You can do that. I mean, it's okay to move on from players that have been first-round picks before if they are not working out. But the patience to wait 3 years for a defensive tackle is very important.
And was it, I saw Pat Doney talking about this, that Taco Charlton was like, don't compare my situation with Mozzie's situation. Like,
just because I went to Michigan.
Yeah, and found a coach that didn't like me, and I tweeted something, and I'm like, look, man, you might be right, but right now, both of y'all are in the category of humongous first-round bust for the Cowboys. Or first-pick bust, or whatever. Back to you.
Kevin, do you know who Rampage Jackson is?
I do.
His son.
Yeah, I saw this.
Over the weekend, was shown on Kick, a live streaming platform, slamming Stuart Smith, otherwise known as Psycho Stu, to the mat before punching him several times in the head while the wrestler was motionless on the canvas. Knox Pro Entertainment Academy released a statement Sunday condemning Jackson's actions and apologized to its fans. First and foremost, our thoughts and prayers are with Mr. Smith as he remains a priority. We're monitoring his well-being. What was supposed to be a planned and agreed upon wrestling spot turned into a selfish, irresponsible act of violence against Mr. Smith. And the act is reprehensible and never should have occurred in the 17 years of operation. Never been anything heinous like this take place.
It is horrifying.
If you haven't seen the video of this, he just is sitting outside of the ring, hops up into the ring, takes Stuart and throws him on the ground, picks him up and throws him on the ground, and then just starts punching him in the face.
And so that first part kind of felt like a rampage, like his dad, like a rampage slam. Now, did I think he dropped him pretty stiff? I did, but I understand that first part. But then, like, you're right, he just starts tagging him with live punches. And after, like, the first or second one, that dude is totally, he is out. I don't know why it keeps happening. And then I didn't understand his dad's explanation either. Though, to be fair, I get it. That's your kid. Like, you're going to try to protect your kid. He said that, like, maybe his kid wasn't made all the way aware of how you were supposed to work that thing. But that's confusing because Rampage has done professional wrestling. Mm. And so it feels like he would have really explained to him, like, it's planned. Like, we're working in coordination and cooperation for this, not just you dropping live punches on somebody. So that part I don't really understand either, but it is horrifying. And if he faces criminal charges for that, I get it. That was so far out of bounds.
Yeah, the physical kicking and punching and stuff that takes place is really a dance.
Yeah.
More than it is a boxing match or a kickboxing match.
And they'll call it, you got potatoed. Like, and that's just a thing that happens. You get potatoed, somebody just popped you full out with a full punch. There is it's a Brock Lesnar and I think Braun Strowman clip from a while back where Braun Strowman just smashes Brock Lesnar for real and he gets up and just drops that dude.
Really?
But like, then it was over. and it's done. He didn't like sit on top of him and like, well, you're going into a coma.
Yeah. I just, and I do wonder sometimes like some of the punches, like you see sometimes that how they do those things. This did not look anything like anything I've ever seen in wrestling that I've watched. I've watched. Now, Kevin, I think there was one time you've told me, and I think I've watched the video, a guy jumped up into the ring and Hunter or Triple H yeah. just leveled the guy. Look, I was like, you don't belong here.
But that was a fan. Like
Stone Cold did that too, right? Like, you don't belong here.
Exactly. And look, if you're in the ring and somebody runs into what you're doing, you have no idea what they're going to do. Like, you hold them down or beat them down. You'll see, like, that's what refs will do, is they'll try to tackle somebody if they see it. But yeah, Triple H, like, jumped off of, I think he had a headlock or something on Stone Cold and took the fan down, because who the hell knows? But like, this was part of the thing. Rampage's kid was supposed to come in there, probably do the Rampage Slam, mm-hmm. maybe drop a punch or like a series of kind of worked punches or elbows, and that most definitely is not what happened.
All right, Kevin, I have some audio here that I want you to enjoy. Now, I've reduced this. We've actually, Alec reduced this down to a smaller clip because it was 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Oh. And there was no way we were going to be able to play this.
That is a long
there
time.
Was a man being chased by the police in L.A., and here's what happened.
Southbound Long Beach now making another westbound turn here, finding another gas station. Might be the same one. He must be low on gas. Driver stepping out of the vehicle. And he's going to drop it right here. He's going to get gas. This driver nervously getting gas after feeling some degree of relief here, although you could tell he's still very animated. He's got his shirt covering his face. Wild scene here as he just drops the pump and continues on after a quick splash of gas. Now back on the run here, but there's nobody behind him as he continues to drive like a maniac through here. And now getting back onto Long Beach Boulevard, there's CHP now just about one block behind him with lights and sirens. Bail. He's out. He pulled it. He bailed under the freeway, and the vehicle is rolling. Law enforcement pulling up here, spotting the lonely vehicle, the empty vehicle, and that suspect is on foot right behind them, you have to presume.
The guy, Kevin...
I have lots of questions.
Pulls into a gas station.
Yeah.
As he's being chased by the cops.
Right.
Because of the way LA traffic is, he went against the grain and the cops went right by him. And he had, 3 minutes to fill up his gas tank? And he's standing there with his shirt over his face. And there's a guy on a motorcycle, doesn't care, not paying attention at all. And this guy's filling his gas tank up so he can get on the run a little bit more. Gets back out on the street. Takes off. As soon as he gets back out onto the street to take off, the cops are right there behind him. They didn't get to the gas station in time, but they were right there as soon as he took off. As he's driving off, Kevin, he goes under the bridge and disappears. The car, he bails on the car. The car keeps rolling into a pole, and the guy escapes. And I don't know what's happened since then, so I don't know if he was caught or anything. But at that moment, Kevin, in this video, they didn't catch him. And that is insane to me that I believe he escaped. This dude is, he pulled in and got gas and then escaped from the cops.
Which I question that strategy because the guy, the news chopper guy, I guess, or whatever chopper.
Chopper.
He said he got a splash of gas.
Splash of gas.
All right. So you need to make that decision. Like, we've all been on a tight budget. You decide, am I getting 2 gallons? Mm-hmm. Am I going to stop at $5? Like, well, what was the decision? Because if he just got a splash of gas, you're not going to get that much farther, so you're not in this for the long run on the police chase.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess it worked out if he escaped.
Was able to go under a bridge and disappear.
But don't get in a police chase, right? That
this
feels
is interesting
fair.
Because I do believe is that it? Last week we were talking about Adrian was in a situation where some people pulled up and then just took off running out of their car. And that's when I asked. I was like, any of you guys ever been around that? One of my, a friend of mine, his daughter went to the same daycare that Carter Avery went to. And he was a police officer in Dallas. And he got shot right here in front of the, like right on this service road. They were in a police chase, and he had pulled his car up, and the gunshot sang out, if you will, and it got him in the hip. Now, he was okay, but it did get him in the hip, and he had to deal with that for a while. But, man, police chases are wild, bro.
It is such a... I'm not going to get into the politics of all this or that. It's just... That is a terrifying job to have when you might just think, I'm doing a traffic stop, and then you could be dead.
Yeah. Have you ever thought, though, if I ever get into a police chase, I'm going to stop and get gasoline? I don't think any of us would ever even think about that. Oh, I got to get gas. No.
Yeah.
You just got to figure something else out, because that's too long of a stop. Unless you got a pit crew waiting on you.
And see, and at that point, you've already broken the law. Do you not pull up by a car and you're like, that person looks responsible. They probably have lots of gas in their car.
This is my next car.
Yeah, and that, look, you've already gone too far. You should probably, don't do any of this.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, and plus.
So you're suggesting don't do things to get into a police
station. Yes, exactly. And also, does that mean he like took out his credit card and
somebody,
swiped it?
I don't know. I just.
And they're like, can you scan it again? You're like, I don't have time for that.
Don't you understand? Can you get gas without.
Yes.
Without.
Okay.
Paying for it first now?
Yes, but this was in a really rural town in South Dakota.
Okay.
All right, and I pulled up to this gas station. I didn't even need to fill up with gas just quite yet, but it was one of those like mom and pop looking stores that had one pump, and it was like the old timey pump where you pull the thing and reset the numbers when you pump the gas. And so I went in there and I was like, hey, can I do prepay? And he goes, just go ahead and pump it and let us know. And so I did that, and the total was, I don't know, like it was like $20.50 or something. And I went in there and I told him, and he goes, how about just $20? And I was like, oh, are you sure it said? And he goes, we don't care about a few cents here and there.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, awesome. Here you go. Thank you so much. But I feel like those are probably pretty rare.
A lot of people asking how he paid from the 860.
That's a valid question, because you're covering your face, but you're using your credit card.
Well, and here's the other thing. I don't know if that was a stolen car or his. So the license plate's already got you. You know, like unless he stole the car. And if that's the case, then maybe there was a card. Maybe somebody else's card was in the car, and maybe that's how he paid.
Yeah,
maybe he like a vending machine. He just put some quarters in there, and then the gas started. That's not how they work, Kevin. But somebody did say the pump asked him if he'd like a car wash today, and he said,
cashier. Yeah. So man, let me ask you this, and I'm sorry. Do you have other things, or can I ask a follow-up question?
We're good.
All right. Have you ever just given up on getting gas in that moment when it says, please see cashier? And you're like, you know what? I still got like a third of a tank. I'm fine. You have lost my business. Or are you like, now you got to do the arduous thing of like, maybe you go see the cashier, or maybe you get in your car and you do that stupid turn where you maybe try to get to the next one, and it's almost like a U-turn right there and you feel like a dummy.
I stopped going to a 7-Eleven in my neighborhood because of that. And now I'm a racetrack only person.
Okay.
I guess unless 7-Eleven wants to
have good pizza,
have me endorse them, and then we have a conversation to have.
Sure.
But yeah, I because every time that one specific 7-Eleven I would go to, it was a little sketchy anyway. But also they always had to see the cashier, or they were always out of gas. I was like, your job is to have gasoline. Why do you always have yellow bags over your pumps?
Man, I do wonder that. And then why did that one pump, like, why doesn't nobody ever use that pump? It still has gas.
In-N-Out Burger, Kevin, you know, we're a Whataburger family here.
True.
But In-N-Out Burger has officially expanded to the state of Washington.
Mm.
People are waiting 2+ hours.
I don't get it.
For In-N-Out Burger. Now, whenever In-N-Out first came here, I had already had it before. I'd had it in Vegas. I think you...
When it got here, I had not. I have now since had it, and I had it for the first time in Vegas. And I'll admit, I think their double cheeseburger is good.
It's good. It's a good burger. But you remember when we started here, Kevin, was whenever In-N-Out got here, and it went insane.
Yes.
I waited 30 minutes. I do remember, because my wife was like, I would like some. I was like, all right, that's fine. We'll take the kids. We'll get shakes and stuff like that. and it was 30 minutes, and it wasn't that bad of a deal. As a matter of fact, Kevin, it was next to the Taco Bueno that we had our first Taco Bueno show at. That went out there.
We'll be back at that Taco Bueno in a little bit for Friday Football Fun Feast.
I've also waited Friday Football Feast.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is fun.
I've also waited 30 minutes for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. What's the longest you've ever waited in a drive-thru for some food?
And it's tough because you never know what that time is. Because if they just ask you to pull forward, you don't know how long that's going to take.
By the way, you could be sitting out in the front and they're like, hey, just pull in that spot right there.
Do you know why they do that too?
Yes, because they have like times.
Yes, correct.
And they want to make sure that they don't get dinged.
Correct. I remember when, again, at the Popeyes, 15 minutes for the biscuits. And I was like, well, obviously we're not going to wait for that. And Colby goes, okay.
Yeah, we'll wait.
And so, yeah, I would just be like, give me something else that you have that is somewhat equivalent. Like, you don't have biscuits. Give me a large soda. Like, I don't know how that scale exactly works.
Give me a loaf of bread.
But it just depends. Like, did you go to Popeyes and you like their chicken fine, but you think their biscuits are elite? And
right.
Then if they're like, we don't have biscuits yet, you're like, I'll wait. That's one of the way I feel about Golden Chick rolls. I think their rolls are tremendous. And so I would wait if they're like, hey, we got fresh batch coming up. Do you want to wait? I would be like, okay, I would.
That's the one.
But I think it's more like that 10 minute range. If they're like, it's going to take 25 minutes. First of all, what?
Yeah.
Are you,
who has that time?
Are you putting together the dough in the back and then you need to knead it and whatever. But like 10 minutes, that feels fair.
All right. That's the C block.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NFL fun rankings, and are the Cowboys going to be a fun team to watch this season? Plus, we try to get to the bottom of what an actuary is. Next on The Fan.
I left formation. Play fake again. Milton going deep down the right side for Brooks in the end zone. Two hands down to the right side of the end zone, and he caught it. Touchdown, Jalen Brooks.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Are the Cowboys going to be a fun team to watch this season? We will get into some of the NFL fun rankings in just a minute. But this is something we didn't get to mention earlier. I'm going to go back to the Little League World Series. So Chinese Taipei won the Little League World Series. They beat Nevada 7-0 in the championship. It's their 18th Little League World Series title, but their first in 29 years.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
The Cowboys.
Dude.
What are you saying? Well, you said 29. It's been 30, so not just like the Cowboys.
But still.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go to cut 12. This is the broadcasters for the Little League World Series. You know how they have all the players have a dream job and it's like, oh, astronaut, MLB player, whatever. This kid, Brian Palazzolo, his dream job is to be an actuary. So I'm going to let the Little League World Series crew take it from there.
Okay. Let's talk about the dream job. An actuary. Fred, did you ever have that thought?
Of what?
Being an actuary?
No, I have not.
Ball? Jess?
No.
Brian Palazzolo. I think that's a first in about 20 years that I've seen somebody say actuary. Todd, you know what an actuary does?
No, I need a good explanation, please.
Jess?
Nada.
Alec, do you know what an actuary is and or does?
Something to do with like math and finding like the probabilities of stuff. I don't know. Something
yes,
like that.
I believe.
I have it pulled up.
Yeah, I think I know the answer.
All right.
And I think Ben Stiller played an actuary.
Okay. Along Came Polly.
Yes. So it's essentially using, as Alex said, math to determine risk factors for things. So they have complex mathematical formulas to help determine like this is worth this, this is worth this, and figure out risk factors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The business professional uses math stats, financial theory to evaluate the financial risks and costs of uncertain future events, primarily for insurance companies, pension plans, and other organizations. Good job, Kevin.
This feels like a career that this kid is ahead of the game.
And that's why he could, that's why Ben Stiller's character couldn't commit to her, yes, because she was so risky and not a, you know, not a safe person for him.
Yes. So
that's what he needed.
Really groundbreaking screenplay they had for that movie.
Rainmaker.
So that is, that is that the movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman
And the sweaty guy. Oh, that was so gross when he goes up for that shot. Yeah. His underarm just slides up Ben Stiller's face.
So good for that kid for knowing exactly the path in life that he already wants to take. And it feels like a very achievable job, if, especially if he's good at math, that he can go down down that path. Good for him.
No comprende.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely, I understand that Mike did not comprende.
Oh, my God. Mike would be the worst at being an actuary. He'd be like, I don't know. If you want to do it, do it. And like, how? What does that look like in policy form? I don't know. So do you think the Cowboys will be a fun team to watch this year? ESPN put together their watchability rankings, so essentially their fun rankings, from, of course, 1 to 32. Do you think going into the season, the Cowboys will be a fun team to watch?
All right. There's a lot of ifs, okay? There's a lot of ifs that need to happen. I think Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are going to be a blast.
Agreed.
Do you find running the football fun?
If you're good at it, yeah.
What if you're picking up 3.5 yards and you're just consistently doing that?
I think it sucks.
And then you're converting third downs and then can picking up on the first two, picking
if,
up your,
if we do that, yes.
Drive, you, so drives can be fun. I know, like, when I think of running the ball, Jahmyr Gibbs and just breaking away, and then every once in a while David Montgomery is like, well, hey, we're gonna plod down the field. So I think running the ball can be a lot of fun.
Because they're good at it,
and
yes.
I think
I
the
agree.
Mixture of Javon, I think this the practice hasn't been put into play yet. But I think the mixture of Javonte and Jaden Blue, maybe Miles Sanders, can be fun. But the most fun thing on this team, I think, is going to be your two receivers if Dak can get them the ball. And that's nothing against Dak. That's obviously a lot of other factors that go into it. The defense, I'm very concerned. I'm hoping that it can be fun. So, Kevin, no. I would put them, if I was going to rank them somewhere, I would have them probably in the, not even middle of the pack, a little lower in fun rankings.
It feels like you'll never go broke making guesses that the Cowboys
middle
are in the
middle
of the pack. They are a tiny bit above. They are number 14.
Okay.
So they're just above the middle of the pack. At times, Cowboys watchability can reach a terminal velocity with so many primetime games and national TV slots that overwhelm one's interest. Now, it's different for us because obviously we are Cowboys fans. They're objectively watchable, which I think is the best description I've heard of them in a long time. Dak throwing to CeeDee Lamb's a good time. The addition of George Pickens can be really fun. And
if Ferguson's good, that can be fun,
yes,
too.
Yes. And they have a lot of other potentially fun players, but maybe you're not sure how quickly they will be here. Because think about it. I'm not saying these have to be the top three, but they're in the mix of most fun defensive players to watch for the Cowboys. Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, and DeMarvion Overshown. Trayvon Diggs is not going to start on the PUP list, so obviously the thought is he will miss fewer than four games, and he might be able to start the season. He is very fun to watch. So is DeMarvion Overshown, but he's also coming back from an injury. We all know how fun Micah Parsons is, and
Bland,
I don't know if you've heard. Bland's
Bland
another
can be
one.
An absolute blast.
Yeah. Bland's another one.
If they're not getting toasted.
And so three of those four, you're like, I am not 100% sure when I am going to see them.
Yes.
And so I definitely think that hurts, because if you were coming off the year where Trayvon Diggs intercepted, like, it felt like every pass that went to him, or Deron Bland was having the insane run of pick sixes, I think that definitely helped their watchability.
Yeah.
Now,
and you know what? I go back to when the Jayron Kearse group.
Yep.
When Dan Quinn's pass rush was at its highest, and like that safety and secondary group knew the ball's going to go up in the air on third down. Like we're going to have a chance. That was an absolute blast. But then when teams realize they can run on you and they don't have to throw the ball because they can beat you with the run, and that's going to screw up your game plan. That's when the Cowboys get hurt and don't become aren't fun defensively. I hope they are fun defensively, though. I'd love to watch a good, fun defense again.
Who do you think are teams that jump to mind as the least fun to watch this year?
Well, not the Titans, as I've established, Kevin, because Cam Ward's there now.
Hey, I think that makes them much more watchable.
I feel like the Dolphins might be not fun to watch this year because that thing might fall apart completely.
Ooh, okay. Alec, do you have a team or teams that you just do not think will be fun to watch this year?
I don't care how much we joke about having four quarterbacks on the team. The Cleveland Browns are going to be miserable to watch.
The Cleveland Browns are dead last on the list of watchability rankings.
What about your quarterbackless team?
Saints?
Unless Kellen Moore starts, will the quarterbackless team be not fun? And I guess that does have a lot to do with it because quarterbacks are important for the fun part of watching the game.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that is very fair, guys. You're doing well today. The Cleveland Browns, dead last.
Oh.
The New Orleans Saints, next to dead last, followed by this part makes my head hurt a little bit. All right?
The Jets.
Okay. The Jets, I would understand, but they are actually a little bit higher up on the list at 24.
Okay.
ESPN has the Chiefs at 30.
Okay. They were not fun to watch last year.
Okay.
Like, it was because Travis Kelce wasn't good offensively. That was the most fun thing, was their offense. And they weren't productive last year offensively.
And they didn't got have wins. Big plays.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot last year that lent itself to. By the way, Kevin, I just want to throw this out there real quick. Tyler Guyton's at practice. Diggs is at practice. Jaden Blue's at practice.
Oh, yeah.
Schoonmaker's at practice.
Oh.
Span Ford is at practice as well. So
Okay. Keep
an eye on those things. But yeah, Tyler Guyton being back out there is a good sign.
I mean, that is an excellent sign.
So that's improvement.
Sign.
That is improvement.
It is. Agreed, Jerry.
Moffa wasn't practicing during the open portion to the media, and Micah was not there during the media portion.
Is Moffa being dinged up now? Is that going to cost him a roster spot?
Probably.
And this could actually all be bizarrely good news for Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
And the ability to
manipulate the roster
for
now,
sure.
The way that they've done things has really changed your ability to predict a lot of things.
I agree.
But
that is very fair. Now, to the Chiefs, they were 28th in explosive pass rate last year and 30th in explosive rush rate. So they would grind you down, but just move down the field in kind of a boring fashion. All right.
Colts.
The Colts, you also have...
They bore me.
...low on the list. It looks like the Colts are significantly higher than you would guess. They are 19. But now let's talk about the good ones.
Okay, let's go to the fun ones.
Who are going to be the most fun NFL teams to watch?
I think Washington is going to be a blast again this year. They have that Dan Quinn pass rush, and they also have... a very exciting quarterback who's in his sophomore season. It could be a slump.
Yeah.
But they got McLaurin back too. So.
More fun than Detroit?
Because Ben Johnson's not there, I'm taking myself. I think Cliff Kingsbury's offense is fun to watch.
Washington is number one. Detroit is number three.
Okay.
Alec, do you have other teams that jump to mind that will be the most fun this year to watch?
Well, Corey just said the name of the head coach of the team. Ben Johnson's Chicago Bears, I feel like, are going to have a lot of intrigue. First year as a head coach, Caleb Williams. See how that goes.
Ooh, you know what? I have an overreaction or reality question for you tomorrow that might kind of feed into this. They're 21st.
What?
On the list.
Wow.
And I feel like a lot of what they've done in the preseason is being kind of like projected on to the regular season.
Okay.
Because it's been kind of
Lamar Jackson is always fun to watch, and so is Derrick Henry.
Fact! Number two on the list, the Baltimore Ravens. The top five goes like this. Washington 1, Baltimore 2, Detroit 3, Cincinnati 4. I would make an argument for Cincinnati at number 1, and here's why. They have a crazy 1-2 punch at wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Joe Burrow's amazing.
And Chase Brown's a good running back, too.
And if you love big plays, watch the whole Bengals game. You'll see a lot of them. Now, unfortunately for the Bengals, a lot of them will be against their crappy defense. But I think the Bengals are super watchable because of the wild swings that you'll see in their games. And then the Philadelphia Eagles are number 5. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, what say we chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
They go quickly now. Here's a little an option and a peel out to the right by Milton. And Joe Milton strolls in and walks the dog for the touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how the heck are you today?
Amazing, Higgy. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you very much for asking. On the Cowboys front, I know people were hoping and dreaming of it. Good for Joe Milton. It just feels too late for them to even ponder only carrying two quarterbacks, right?
They're going to carry two.
Are they?
Yeah. They're gonna need the extra roster spot, I believe.
Okay.
I think the plan right now is to carry two.
Okay.
They're gonna try and put the other guy on the practice squad if they can.
Right.
I believe as talking to people the last couple of days, that's what they were thinking about.
Okay.
They're gonna need the roster spots just because of the situation at corner. They might want to go long at defensive line. They might go short at offensive line. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I mean, you've talked to people, it's like, oh, we're talking about this, we're talking about that. So you know, I have a feeling they're going to go just two, and then try and put the other guy in the practice squad.
Interesting, love that insight right there.
If you go
long on defensive line, I figure James Houston at least has to be in the conversation.
Yeah, right? with Mozzie being in the mix now, you have to kind of figure out though what's going to happen. Are you going to go six ends and five tackles? That's might what they have to look at. So. It's this time of year kind of sucks because what happens is that coaches get involved too. And then, especially in this organization, coaches, you know, carry a pretty big stick. So if they have somebody they want to keep, then they're going to try and politic for it. And now Will and them are going to have to work around the roster with the numbers to make that work.
And you said with Mozzie is on this roster.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Any other, for any of you guys, roster things either you think or you're hearing that are developing that maybe you like, maybe you don't?
I don't think Brooks is going to be on this team, the wide receiver.
Okay, because it's Illinois. Then
they're going to keep five. They're going to keep five. Yeah, they're going to keep five. It sounds like it's going to be. Right now with Lamb, Pickens, Turpin, and then Tolbert, and then Flannoy would be the fifth one.
Okay.
I'm glad Flannoy's on. I mean, that was the one, him and Maffa and Houston, I think I left like, man, I'd really hope that those three can make it. The Maffa stuff, I know, Brian, you've been talking about the possible injury.
Yeah, there might be something that they're having to deal with the shoulder.
Yeah.
In a weird way, could injury help him stick around? Because there are mechanisms in place that you can put those players.
Well, you would put him on, he'd have to be on the active roster if you want to put him on injured reserve. Or you could just straight injured reserve and not have him for
four games.
For the four games right there. So.
That feels seems like a crazy way to go.
Yeah. Just a lot depends. Like, they're going to have to do something with Revelle. They could keep him on non-football injury and then get him off that if he gets healthy. But the whole thing, too, about Diggs is in his whole, everybody's talking about, but they had to take him off the pup list in order so he could practice.
Yeah.
They had to do the walkthroughs and things like that, the mock games. So, but the thought is that he's going to probably not play week one, but maybe week two. That would be 8 weeks of conditioning. And that's the number they're looking for.
One more quick question about like time to get ready. You had talked about, I think it was last week.
If he doesn't practice this week, he's not going to play.
Okay. Is there a certain amount of days? Because like with McLaurin,
they're going to need all the days they can get.
Okay.
And there's a possibility that if he doesn't participate this week, matter of fact, with players' days off this week, Diggs is actually coming in and working in those days off on conditioning. So good for him for doing that. But if Micah, the thought is if they need Micah there this week, if they're going to do it.
What do you guys think is the likelihood of that?
I guess he's not out there now. I mean, they're practicing, and the beat's out there. Like, Diggs is practicing today. Yeah. Guyton's practicing, but no sign of Micah, at least for right now.
I heard Nick Eatman today say Wednesday, you know, is maybe your drop dead day. So if that is, you know, I would say 90% of whatever the drop dead day is.
Okay.
You know, I still think there's like a 10% chance out there that this has gotten so much different than other holdouts that he won't play week one.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue against that idea. I don't think anybody right now is like, oh, obviously.
Like, McLaurin got done today. Everybody was just like, it's just a matter of time. He's not going anywhere. This one, there's just more uncertainty lingering over it.
That'd be so fascinating, though, if he decides not to play in that game. He blames it on the back, still makes the game check, and
it really did feel like Shoddy was trying to cut that off at the pass when he goes,
yeah,
it looked like that MRI was pretty clean on its back.
Pretty clean. Florio had a story today that if he does try it, this is where the NFL would file paperwork for conduct detrimental to the team. And I don't think any player wants to open up that can of worms. I think if they could get away with it, we would have heard about it a lot.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I think this is where the owners draw the line in the sand. It's okay to fake an injury, miss practice, do this, do that. We're in a holdout. But once games get going and I'm writing a $1.2 million check for every game played, you're not going to do the fake injury thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If I could go back to Stephen A. Smith, because something I was holding on was the second visit or the second meeting with between him and Jerry. That was something I was holding on that, you know, that Micah, he was trying to negotiate with Jerry. Is what he was trying to do. I was thinking if you could tell me that Mike and Jerry met, like that he circled back with him after day one, that they really were negotiating. Now, it doesn't wash Jerry's hands of anything, but at least Micah was trying to, he was trying to do something. And I think he put himself in a bad position. I think that's why where Micah's the way he is, looks very despondent and all that, because he knows he effed this thing up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a good point. That is a very good
point. Yeah, if in fact it, you know, they and it doesn't, again, wash Jerry's hands from how he handled it.
Yeah, I get it.
But if you come back the second day and are asking for more demands and stuff like that, then I think you're trying to negotiate with me.
Yeah.
You know, so, and hey, shame on Jerry for trying to do it. Shame on Micah for thinking he could do it.
Y'all have any thoughts about the Terry McLaurin contract? I know it's a little dicey because I still haven't seen total guaranteed money. I just saw signing bonus and 3 for 96, but I can put out a contract that says whatever the hell I want. How much guaranteed money is going to be there? But they did get it done.
Yeah, and that's huge for them. I mean, I think that was a no-brainer. This whole time, I've been wondering, dude, you're the Commanders. You have the rookie quarter, or you have the quarterback on the rookie contract. He's super cheap right now. You don't just start. And,
right.
And McLaurin has been one of these guys, too, that has been there through thick and thin with that organization. Crap quarterbacks.
Yes.
Crap organization. Crap on the actual field of the home
from the
stadium.
Pipes. Yeah.
So, like, this is a guy that absolutely deserves it. And outside of Deebo Samuel, you got no one you trust catching the football there. So, it's a no-brainer. And it's just annoying. If I'm a Commanders fan, I'm like, this should have been a no-brainer. And why did we just let our best wide receiver not play throughout any preseason and training camp? We just saw what happened in Dallas last year when Lamb was out. He's like literally one of the best receivers in the league, and he looked like a shell of himself for the first 7 games.
Yeah. What do you find fine fellas got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Hagee, thanks for asking. Would like to draw your attention to the 420 where a Rangers president of baseball operations, Chris Young, is going to join us.
Ooh, I always look forward to
that. How fired
up
he is after a nice little sweep.
I
saw you with the brooms out.
Yeah, look, and that we talked about earlier, is it a net neutral weekend, though, if you sweep and then lose Marcus Semien? I don't really know how to quite gauge that.
Might be a win-win.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. Going to be spicy. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say win-win, Kevin.
Win-win.